أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقيه واحد أشد على الشيطان من ألف عابد صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
The Holy Prophet has said in this hadith which is narrated by Shaheed Thani our great marji from Lebanon in his book آداب منية المريد في آداب المفيد والمستفيد That's where he narrates this hadith of the Prophet that he has said that one faqih is more severe on shaitan on the shaitan than 1,000 abid people The Holy Prophet did not say one faqih is more superior than 1,000 sinners. This is a very obvious and badihi. Isn't it right? Badihi and self-evident things don't need to be talked about. He did not say faqihun wahid ashaddu ala shaitan min alf asin mathalan. So, 1,000 sinners. Basically, an abid person is a nice guy, isn't it right? He performs ibadat. Somebody who performs ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a good person. He's mutadayyin, he's multazim, deendar. He's a nice person performing ibadat of Allah. He's a good doer. So, a regular good doing person, you keep 1,000 regular good doing person on one side, and one faqih has more impact on shaitan and the agenda of shaitan than 1,000 good-doer mu'mins. 1,000 good-doing mu'mins cannot do against shaitan what one faqih can do. This has to be understood. La faqra ashaddu min al-jahl. There is no faqr and ihtiyaj and niyazmandi. Like in Arabic we say faqr and ihtiyaj, poverty. In Farsi we say niyazmandi. There is no poverty which is more severe than jahl. And I explained 2 weeks ago when we were commemorating the istishhad of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Imam Baqir al-Sadr, rahmatullah alayhi, two Thursdays ago where we commemorated, I mentioned to you that in the istilah, in the thaqafat of Quran, in the cultural heritage of Quran, in the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the word tafaqquh is used in the in-depth understanding of Islamic concepts of the religion Islam. So not everybody is mutafaqqih fi deen. We are talking about a mutafaqqih person, and not just a regular mutafaqqih person, but Shaheed al-Muhaqqiq Ayatullah al-Ustaz Sheikh Murtaza al-Mutahhari rahmatullahi alayh is a personality of our Shia history, which is the author, last time I counted, it was 680 books, 680. This is the last count I did, maybe because they have been constantly publishing his books, maybe right now it's more than 680. The last count I did was 680 books. So we are not talking about a regular faqihun adi. With due respect to all the fuqaha, isn't it right? Prophet has said, Al-fuqaha'u husunul Islam. Fuqaha are the fort of Islam. So Islam gets protected, not because of me, not because of sinners like me. Islam gets protected because of our fuqaha. They are the ones who are protecting Islam, actually, in the real sense of the word. Because of the fact that they understand Islam correctly, and they do what is needed on the right time as much as it is needed. So one movement of the pen of a faqih, one timely, appropriate, munasib movement of the pen of one mujtahid is superior than the blood of hundreds of thousands of shuhada who go and give away their life. Everything they have. When you give away your life, you're giving away everything for the sake of Allah. Isn't that right? There's nothing left for you. You are leaving this world for good. So of those hundreds of thousands of shuhada who are giving their blood, you know, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ you know, وُزِنَا مِدَادُ الْعُلَمَاء بِدِمَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ فَيُرَجَّحُ مِدَادُ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى دِمَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ The Prophet has said in his famous hadith, on the Day of Judgment, the wuzna, that means the midad, the ink, the ink of the pen of scholars will be weighed in its weight. How much is the weight of the ink of the pen of scholars and the blood of the shuhada? Both things are weighed together. For Prophet said, "For yurajjahu midadul ulama," then the ink of the scholars will be given tarjih and preference. Ala dima'i shuhada, over the blood of the shuhada. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's so alimun Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam had said that alimun yuntafa'u bi'ilmihi afdal min sab'ina alfi abid. That's another perspective. One alim from whose ilm people benefit from is superior than 70,000 good doing ibadat performing worshippers. You put them on one side and one faqih, one alim from whose ilm, right now the books that he has written down, certainly these are masterpieces on Islamic subjects. You can count, you can think of any subject about Islam, you can name any subject of Islam and there's a book of Shaheed Mutahhari on that subject. You're talking about Risalat of Rasulullah, you're talking about Tawheed of Allah, you're talking about Walayat of Ahlul Bayt, you're talking about the concept of Imamat and leadership in Islam, you talk about any subject. And that's, you read the you know, one of the good aspects of the books of Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh is that one book suffices for you to understand the whole concept. You don't need to go turn to any other book on that subject. You can read his book on the concept of the Prophet being ummi, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Our Holy Prophet was Ummi. Isn't that right? What is the concept of Ummi? There's a huge discussion among the Muslim sects of Islam. Did the Prophet was illiterate? Is that the meaning of Ummi, that he's illiterate? Some people say Prophet was illiterate. Some people say Prophet didn't used to, he cannot read. Anybody who cannot read is called Ummi. Somebody who cannot read and cannot write. There's a huge discussion, what's the real meaning? Some people say, no, Ummi actually is because of the fact that he belongs to Ummul Qura. Ummul Qura is the name given to Makkah, is the mother of all the towns. So that's why he's called Ummi. There's a huge discussion. For you want to understand what's the concept of Islam. What does Allah mean when he says, what's the real tafsir, what's the real concept of being Ummi? You can read the books written by him on all those various subjects, like Taqiyah. He has a wonderful book on the subject of Taqiyah, which is very short, but it's very to the point. And some of the, his books, like I said, if you get the feel, you get the feeling that this person has read 1,000 books before writing this sentence. When you go through the books of Shaheed Mutahhari, that's the feeling you will get when he talks about the Islamic concepts with such authenticity and such confidence and such depth in the matter, ta'ammuq. Then you will realize that this person has recited 1,000 books before he can say such a sentence. Because not everybody can say these sentences with that confidence. So you have to have a comprehensive control over all these Islamic sciences. I remember Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh is the student of Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Qazi At-Tabatabai, and Allama himself is one of the greatest philosophers of his time. He used to teach falsafa in the Hawza of Qum, and in those days when some people used to oppose philosophy, isn't it right? Some people used to call the Islamic philosophers as kuffar, kafirs, murtad, a'udhu billah min dhalik, because the zayg, look at the inhiraf fikri, the incorrect and tilted understandings of the religion that some of the scholars used to have, so-called scholars. In those days, when Allama At-Tabatabai, the ratib, the monthly stipend, shahriye, or in Farsi they call shahriye, ratib, the stipend that was given to the students of Allama At-Tabatabai was stopped because he was teaching falsafa. Some people stopped giving him money. So that was the environment where these greatest personalities of Islam were spreading the religion in those hardships, where some of the ulama were the ones who were opposing them. This is what Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Alayhi has written in his wasiyat, that since I started the movement in 1963, the hardest obstacles that I have faced in my life was not from the kuffar and mushrikeen. The hardest obstacles I faced in my life were from some of the mu'ammameen. And this is so true. This is exactly what the haqiqat is. So we find that when Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh used to come in the majlis of dars, the gathering of the dars of Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, he said, now that person has arrived in my gathering for whom I'm sure, I have yaqeen, that he understands my lecture completely. So Shaheed Mutahhari is that person who can understand everything that Allama At-Tabatabai has to say. You don't find these people that often who can understand everything. And this is because of his taharat of the qalb. Because ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ilm according to the level of your tathirul qalb and tazkiyatul nafs. The more you purify, the more you get the noor of ilm. The less taharat you have, don't expect more. This is the adl of Allah. So even in the message that Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi gave on the incident of the Shahada of Shaheed, Shaheed Mutahari is the first mujtahid who was killed after Islamic Revolution. First mujtahid killed by the Munafiqeen, which is the Guruh-e Furqan, the Munafiq group called Furqan. They were the ones who killed him. The first mujtahid after revolution. Later on, so many others were killed, but he was the first one that was targeted by the enemies. So Shaheed Mutahari, 6 months after the revolution, approximately, when he was killed, and he was basically a person that combines the opposite attributes in his personality, because he was a faqih and he was an arif and he was a filsuf, an Islamic philosopher of the highest levels. Highest level. I mean, it's not easy to understand the dust of Allama Tabatabai. It's not easy. Those of you who, I don't know if any one of you has any familiarity with the subject, but just to say it as a little bit of information and move forward, that Islamic philosophy is one of the hardest things in the syllabus of the Hausa to understand. It's one of the hardest subjects to understand. So you require, you know, you have to complete the last book of Mantiq, which takes about 5 years approximately to complete the last book in the syllabus of for Mantiq, logic, in order to for you to start the first book of philosophy, the ABC of philosophy. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So, and then obviously, in order for you to understand those high-level lectures of Allama Tabatabai and the like, those people who are on his level, who are able to not only understand what Muallim al-Awwal has said, what Farabi has said, what Ibn Sina has said, what Khaja Nasiruddin al-Tusi rahmatullah alayhi has said, what Muhyiddin ibn Arabi has said, not only that, but they put their own hashiya, their own opinions over the existing opinions of those greatest philosophers of Islam. So this is about ijtihad, this is about the superior tahqiq in the highest knowledge of aql. So we find that Imam Khomeini, when his son Ayatollah Shaheed Mustafa al-Khomeini, he used to teach Bahth al-Kharij, he was a mujtahid. He used to teach Dars al-Kharij in Najaf. He was a mujtahid, Ayatollah. When Ayatollah Shaheed Mustafa was killed in Baghdad, Imam Khomeini did not shed a single tear over the death of his son. But when Shaheed Mutahari was killed after the Islamic Revolution, we find that he went from his home to the Madrasa Al-Faydiyya, which is where Shaheed Mutahari used to live. He is the first student of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini, when he started his Bahth al-Kharij, he had two students. From the day one, later on, there were thousands. Well, in the day one, I'm talking about, there were two students on day one, Shaheed Mutahari and Sheikh Muntazari. And they both were class fellows. So on the day one, so they used to live in the room, in the hujra of Madrasa Al-Faydiyya, and that's where Imam came from his house, and he sat there in his at that place for 3 days to accept the ta'ziyat from the people. And he was crying like a mother cries over her baby, just how he was crying over the shahadat of Shaheed Mutahari. And he said in his message that, as you know, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, you know, that Shaheed Mutahari shakhsiyat hai bud ke hasil umram hisab nishud. He is one of those personalities who is counted to be the summary of my entire life. That means the whole summary of what I did can be seen in his personality. So he's the ustad of Shaheed Mutahari. Obviously, he's the first, he's the, you know, ustad from whom he learned so much. And Mutahari ke dar taharat-e-ruh wa تسکیه باطن, you know, و اسلام شناسی کم نظیر بود. He describes that, and these statements can be found written on the grave of Shahid Mutahhari, where Imam Khomeini is talking about him, that Shahid Mutahhari was kam nazir. That means you very less in the history of the ulama, very less in the history of Islam, you find scholars who have that high level of taharatul qalb like Shahid Mutahhari. And Islam Shanasi and Ma'rifatuddin, in depth understanding of the religion itself. What is the seerat of Ahlul Bayt? What they actually wanted from us to do? It's easy to read a book, but it's very hard to understand the actual theme of Ahlul Bayt. There are so many people who are reading book, and there are so many people who are reading Quran, isn't that right? But there are very few who understand what is the maqsood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the ruhul matlab? This is what requires in-depth understanding. So we find that tonight we are commemorating a personality who is Jami'ul Azdad, because we find there are some of the Urafa were not politicians, and some of the politicians were not Urafa, and some of the philosophers were not fuqaha. Isn't that right? Just like Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina was one of the greatest Islamic philosophers in the history, but he was not a mujtahid in fiqh and usul. So we find in the history that some of the philosophers were not fuqaha, and some of the fuqaha were not philosophers. Isn't that right? So these are things which are really nadiran. Rarely you find in personalities who are as high an arif in ma'rifat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, and ma'rifat of Allah and ma'rifat of Islam. So they are arif, plus they are faqih, plus they are politicians, plus they are mujtahids, and plus they are teachers, and plus they are equally involved in the youth, because he's the one who laid the cultural foundation of the Islamic revolution. Because Shahid Mutahhari and Ayatullah Dr. Shahid Mufattih rahmatullah alayh, these personalities penetrated into the university, and countless number of students yet you find today who are serving Islam, are all those students are from Shahid Mutahhari and Shahid Mufattih, because they penetrated into the students of the university and taught them Islam, not only in the Hausa, but they also penetrated in the university at the same time. So they laid the foundation of the cultural revolution of Ahlul Bayt in the whole country. 680 books, for the last time I counted. That's not easy, brothers and sisters. Easy said, and then written. 680. So this is a unique service that we find from Shahid Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh. And some of the, obviously there's a huge number of books which I cannot list to you in this short speech, but I will certainly love to mention a few of those which I personally love them very much, and would like to recommend to all the brothers and sisters to read those books. The best book which I, all of his books are good, but the best one that I personally like is, you know, Jazabe wa Dafi'e Ali alayhi salam. That means the attractive and repulsive forces, Jazb and Dafa, the attractive and repulsive forces of the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That means, who are those people that Imam Ali made them friends for him, befriended them, and who were those people that Imam Ali alayhi salam considered as his enemy, and why? It's a wonderful subject, because Shahid Mutahhari was the expert of Nahdul Balagha of his time. I don't think you can find anybody who has more command and more tasallut on Nahjul Balagha than him. So he loved Nahjul Balagha, and he was one of the biggest teachers in the history of Shia religion over Nahjul Balagha and various jihad and aspects of Nahjul Balagha. So this is one of the masterpieces. This is a very small book, one volume, but if you find it, you it's very good for you that you in order for you to understand the imamat of Ahlul Bayt, understand the shakhsiyat and personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that we love our first imam, we must understand what was the shakhsiyat of Imam Ali alayhi salam that we love, so that we can correct ourselves and adjust ourselves according to Imam Ali alayhi salam's personality, who is the Mizanul A'mal. So Jaziba wa Dafi'a of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And you know, the jazb and daf, the attractive and repulsive forces of his personality. And another very important book, which is a masterpiece of Shia history, is Huquq al-Mar'a fil Islam, Huquq al-Zan dar Islam in Farsi. That means the women's rights in Islam. That was the first book in the history which is so comprehensive on that subject. Kitabun Jami', that means it includes every aspect. Like I said in the beginning, if you pick up the book of Shaheed Mutahhari on any mawdu, you don't need to study any other book on that mawdu. That's the final word. It's like a mark on the stone. Because this is written by a muhakkik. How many ulama in the history of Shia religion you find who have written 680 books? How many mujtahideen you find in the history who have written 680 books? How many do you find? These type of people are born every day. So we must understand that this is a blessing of Allah when the Holy Prophet has said, Al-Fuqaha'u Husunul Islam. Fuqaha are the forts of Islam. This hadith has one of the best mistaq of this hadith is Shaheed Mutahhari Rahmatullah Alayh. Also, his another masterpiece is the book on the Al-Adl al-Ilahi, the justice of God, which is in two volumes, and this one volume is this much thick, so it's two volumes like this much thick, about talking about the justice of Allah. It's a wonderful book on that subject, and that's the last word. You don't have to read any other book on that subject. And also another book that I personally like very well is Haqq and Batil. That's another masterpiece to understand the whole concept of Haqq and Batil in Islam. So we adjust our lifestyle, our behaviors, our policies, our mawqif, and we stand for Haqq in every aspect of our religion and our life. And we find that some of the with all these services that we find in the different aspects of Islamic sciences and knowledges and ulum, still, like I said in the beginning, he was very active in political services. Fara'id al-siyasiyya wal-ijtima'iyya. So he is active, was actively involved in political campaign against the zulm and zalimeen, obviously supporting the leadership of his time, which is Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayh, and running a campaign, political campaign, despite the fact, it's really surprising how he finds time to write 680 books. Somebody who goes to prison doesn't have time, isn't it right? If you go to prison, your whole life gets disturbed, isn't it right? They don't even give a pen to you in the prison, isn't that right? So somebody who has spent his life in the prison, somebody who is in the hardships and tortures of Taghut, if you are sitting in a corner in your hujra and you are not doing no tadakhul, no You don't get involved in any political matter. If you are sitting in your hujra, it makes sense. You can write so many books. But somebody who is running a political campaign and he goes to the prison and he's not sitting at one place. He's just running for the campaign and serving Islam and opposing the zulm of the taghuts, and he still finds time for writing so many books. This is certainly a ta'eed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these personalities. And he said about his teacher, Imam al-Khumayni ridwanullah alayh, that people will understand the service of Imam Khomeini after 100 years. After 100 years, people will understand what kind of khidmat for Ahlul Bayt he has performed. Look at the point, you know, after the hukumat of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, we find the Shia people throughout the history never had a chance to rule. We were under tortures, we were persecuted constantly, we were killed and jailed and injured and tortured, isn't that right? And insulted. And Taghuts were ruling and playing, and they were just deciding our future in the whole Middle East. The Taghuts were playing like chess. You know, they play the chess, just like how they were playing with the mustaqbal, with the future of Muslim countries. Our future was being decided in the Western capitals. Isn't that right? Our future was not decided by the people of the Middle East. Future was not decided in the capitals of our own countries. Our futures were decided in the Western capitals. And this whole situation, the status quo was changed by Imam Khomeini. And he said, we are going to cut the hands of the mustamirin from our country so no one can dare penetrate into our country. Look at the tafakkur of Imam Khomeini. Nahnu naqta ayad al-istimar min biladina. No one can fool around and no one can mess around in our country. Where do you find this tafakkur of Islam, tafakkur of Amir al-Mu'mineen, tafakkur of Ahlul Bayt? Isn't it right? So this is how we find you will achieve the izzat for Islam. Can you please start the movie? There are a few clips that I would like you to please pay attention to that.